How many of you excited to be here on tonight? Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. I was out today in the inclement weather, and the enemies was trying to tell me that, ooh, it's going to flood tonight. So I just agreed with it. I said, it's going to flood. It's going to flood in here tonight. Glory to God. You see, one of the things is that what the enemy says, he always says what God is going to do, but he make it look like it's the worst thing. So when he said it's going to flood, I'll agree with him because I have a vision for something else. Amen, amen. How many of you got a vision to know that God's going to do something special tonight? Amen, amen. Hallelujah. I'm going to try to get into this teaching real quick and see can we finish off what I did on Sunday. Amen. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 11, verse 6. This is still our base scripture. I don't want you to get tired of this scripture because I believe that every time we read it, it begins to grow in us. Because the Bible says if we attend unto the word, that's in the moment you attend unto something, it begins to grow and it begins to become a part of you. So Genesis chapter 11 says, and the Lord said, behold, the people are one, and they all have one language. And this they began to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. How many of you still got your imagination? Amen, amen. The New Living Translation say, look, he said, and that's God was talking, the people are united, and they all speak the same language. After this, nothing they set out to do will be impossible for them. Isn't that good news? I mean, that is good news. The enemy wants you to think that you're in the minority. But God says, whatever, and when we come together, whatever we set our mind to do, whatever we imagine, ooh, I like that, whatever you just imagine, it won't be restrained from you. It won't be kept from you. Our other base scripture comes from Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7, and it says, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get an understanding. The Message Bible put it this way. It says, above all and before all, do this, get wisdom. Write this at the top of your list, get understanding. So we are teaching on the subject, understanding your church's culture. And I don't know about you, but this has been a great eye-opener for me. It has helped me to see that you're only where you are because of what you see. If you don't see much, then you don't have room for much. So God told us, he says, I want you to write this vision, make it plain, and let everybody begin to see it so that when they see it, they can run with it. So we were dealing with culture. And culture is the totality of beliefs, patterns, and dominant traits that are expressed between a particular class, a community, or an organization. In other words, whenever a group of people come together, they develop a culture. They develop a culture that is unique to them. Now, someone that's on the outside may not understand that culture because they have their own culture. So now, every church has a culture. Every church has a culture. Every family have a culture. You know, and the fact is that because we have different cultures, because we run our homes differently, the responses that we get, whether from the husband, the wife, or the children, will always be different. You know, we can all come dressed the same way, but if we're living differently, if we are mind of our attention span or our what we attend to is different, then the results that we get are different. So therefore, whatever I would believe because of the way that I live, you wouldn't believe it because you live another way. Amen. And we were talking about the dominant traits that we had, and the first dominant trait, we were talking about two of them. The first one was recharge, which is our name, because God told us to, it's time for us to resuscitate the body of Christ. He said that it's time for us to charge up the body of Christ, because the Bible says that we have many that have backslidden. Okay, and when you've backslid, all you really need, you're just like that battery in that car that's been sitting dormant. All you need is somebody or something to really fire up what's already in you. Amen? I don't know about you, because, see, sometimes a battery is not bad. It's just that cell in it has went down. And the moment you hook it up and charge it, that battery is good, and it'll take you wherever you need to go. Now, it's a difference between a battery that just needs to be charged and a dead battery. See, now, with a dead battery, it's being one that has a dead cell in it. You can't do nothing with it but replace it. Okay? And a dead battery represents somebody that has never been saved. If you ain't never been saved, then there is nothing to charge you up with. Because most of all, you're living under a different culture. You see, Christians have a culture and non-Christians have a culture. But the problem that I found out many times is that as Christians, we try to live in two cultures. You know, we got a culture at church and then we got a culture at work. But God says that after we teach culture, what it is going to do is that not only is it going to unite us as a unit, but it's going to charge up your life at home. And you're going to begin to see this word come alive in your own home, where there was discord. All of a sudden, you're going to become on one accord. And the reason why you're going to become on one accord is because you are going to see here that when we come together, nothing is impossible. So that means that when you get to your house, you're going to say, look, it's time for us to put aside those petty differences, because we need to go somewhere. in the book of Habakkuk, chapter 2, verse 2 and 3, it said, "And the Lord answered me and said, write division and make it plain upon tablets, that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry." Well, we talked Sunday, and we said that writing, he said write the vision, and writing was a form of communication. And we discussed that there are four different types of communication, which was verbal, nonverbal, visual, and written. So when he said write the vision, he said, I wanted you to communicate the vision. I want you to make it plain. On the street, we'd always talk about use the KISS method. You know, keep it simple, stupid. You know, so the fact is that we try to make the gospel deeper than what it is. Paul put it this way. He said, I didn't come to you with some high type of language. You know, I didn't try to use all the education that I have. He says, I just came to you in the simplicity of the gospel. So that tells me that if we're going to communicate anything, we're going to have to make it plain. So it tells them to write it on tablets so that whoever read it would run with it. But one of the most interesting things, it said, it told us that though it tarries, wait on it. And then it told us again, that same verse, it said, it will not tarry. So that sounded like a paradox, but we found out that particular word, the first tarry, he was saying that it won't be late. It just won't be late. Though it's just not going to be late. See, one of the things that we got to understand, that God is never, never late at all.